hidup sendiri. Terlalu susah. Batu badau, batu badau, batu badau.
Voice of Indonesia.
Il est temps pour moi de terminer cette émission d'une heure d'aujourd'hui. Je vous remercie pour votre fidélité et n'oubliez pas de nous écrire à notre courriel voilisteners@gmail.com. Donc, je vous souhaite bonne journée, bonne soirée et à bientôt.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal. And today, you can listen to us on voinews.id, RRI Digital, and Shortwave Broadcast. on 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Right now, you are listening to the highlights of the week, which presents you events that happened in Indonesia for this week. Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono called on member states of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or OIC, to take a stronger stand in promoting multilateralism and international law, especially amid the rising violence by Israel in Palestine and the attacks of Iran. Minister Sugiono delivered the statement at the 51st OIC Foreign Ministers Conference in Istanbul, Turkey on Saturday.
We must never give up on diplomacy. But we also have to look into our role in strengthening multilateralism and international law. OIC must be more decisive and assertive.
Foreign Minister Sugiono also called for reform of the multilateral system and emphasized the importance of the OIC taking real action as a representative of Global South countries. In addition to political issues, Minister Sugiono highlighted the need for stronger economic cooperation among OIC member states, including in the areas of trade, education, scientific innovation, and natural resources management. According to him, the collaboration could strengthen the strategic position of Islamic countries on the global stage. Jakarta Governor Pramono Anung personally led the ceremony commemorating the 498th anniversary of Jakarta at the National Monument on Sunday, 22nd June 2025. In his keynote speech, Governor Pramono stated that as the national economic center and a global city, Jakarta continues to move forward and improve itself in all aspects.
Kini di usianya hampir mencapai 500 tahun.
Now, as Jakarta approaches its 500th year, it will enhance its competitiveness and strengthen its standing on the world stage. Major efforts are being directed toward positioning Jakarta among the top 50 global cities. As part of this strategic step, the Jakarta provincial government has set the 2025 until 2029 development vision, Jakarta as a global city and an economically competitive center that is sustainable and ensures the welfare of all its citizens, a vision that serves as a comprehensive and measurable policy direction without abandoning its cultural heritage and identity.
Moreover, the governor also explained about the theme of this year's Jakarta anniversary, Jakarta, a global and cultural city. According to him, it reflects the provincial government's commitment to ensuring that Jakarta's transformation into a modern city remains aligned with the preservation of culture and local wisdom. With hard work, dedication, and a spirit of collaboration, Governor Pramono Anung believes Jakarta will continue to progress and bring pride to the nation on the global stage. Indonesian Minister of Environment Hanif Faisal reaffirmed Indonesia's strong commitment to achieving the national waste management target of 100% by the year of 2029. Speaking at the National Coordination Meeting on Waste Management attended by regional leaders from across Indonesia in Jakarta on Sunday, he emphasized that the target can only be achieved through collaborative effort, and the reason is because waste management is fundamentally a shared responsibility, not solely the obligation of provincial, district, city, or national governments.
We need to start implementing a comprehensive strategy that integrates waste flow from upstream to downstream, engages various stakeholders across all sectors, strengthens the circular economy potential, and ensures flexible financing schemes for professional waste management.
The minister further outlined the government's waste management initiatives, including the development of waste processing facilities such as waste processing sites for reduce, reuse, recycle, and integrated waste processing sites. He also highlighted community empowerment through waste banks and the strengthening of producer responsibility regulations. Vice Director of Indonesian Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF, Eko Listianto, on Monday urged the Indonesian government to start actions to anticipate the blocking of Strait Hormuz as it will impact Indonesia's economy. During an interview in the Voice of Indonesia talk program with RI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, Eko stated that the Indonesian government must start securing alternative oil suppliers and maximizing biodiesel utilization, accelerating renewable energy development, and establishing true energy sovereignty through diversified sources.
We have so many renewable energy, yeah, but of course in this time, yeah, the price and how the research and development, yeah, we need to do some policies, yeah, to make sure that it will happen in the future, yeah, but actually we have the resource to do this, yeah.
He also highlighted ASEAN energy cooperation as an emerging potential solution. Singapore's refining capacity and Malaysia's energy infrastructure could complement Indonesia's natural resources, and such partnerships could help build regional energy resilience while reducing vulnerability to Middle East volatility. Eko also warned of potentially severe consequences for Indonesia's economy, particularly if Iran moves to block the strategic Strait of Hormuz. The Indonesian National Nutrition Agency states that the government's Free Nutritious Meals program not only addresses the nutritional needs of the community, but also triggers a domino effect on the local economy. Head of the National Nutrition Agency for Communications, Reddy Hendra, in a press conference held on Sunday in Jakarta, stated that the government's Free Nutritious Meals program not only addresses the nutritional needs of the community, but also triggers a domino effect on the local economy.
Kemudian, selain fokus dalam pemenuhan gizi,
in addition to focusing on nutrition, the program also creates a domino effect in the community, especially in boosting local economic activity. It's very evident in many regions that the program has helped business owners, especially micro, small, and medium enterprises, cooperatives, village-owned enterprises, local farmers, and livestock breeders. Even individual economic actors in their areas are becoming much more active because of this Free Nutritious Meals program.
Adanya program makan bergizi gratis ini.
He also noted that at least 144 micro, small, and medium enterprises have partnered with the National Nutritious Agency. The agency continues to welcome public input as part of its inclusive communication to ensure the long-term sustainability of the program. Minister of Population and Family Development Wi Haji stated that Indonesia's current total fertility rate stands at 2.1%. Speaking at the main event of the Nationwide Family Planning Service in Rotendao Regency, East Nusa Tenggara, the minister explained the figure indicates that on average, Indonesians have two children. According to him, having two children is ideal for economic growth, resources distribution, and securing the future of the next generation.
In the past, the slogan was two children are enough, but now it has changed to two children are healthier, two children are better. This means we are now prioritizing health and well-being. Therefore, In terms of population services, our goal is to ensure balanced population growth. The approach is through contraception. As I said earlier to the vice governor and the regent, we must manage this to ensure our children grow up healthy.
Untuk memastikan supaya anak kita sehat.
Moreover, Minister Wihaji further explained that to ensure a healthy generation, the government prioritizes the first 1,000 days of life starting from pregnancy to prevent stunting among children. He revealed that the government has implemented the free nutritious meals program in which 10% of the beneficiaries are pregnant women, breastfeeding mothers, and young children not yet enrolled in early childhood education. You are still with the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. The Indonesian Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education has officially launched the School Leadership Program. In his remarks at the launch event in Jakarta on Monday, Minister of Primary and Secondary Education Abdul Muti stated that the program is designed to prepare prospective school principals and school supervisors, as well as to strengthen and develop the competencies of current principals, supervisors, and heads of educational personnel.
Di mana kita sekarang memang tidak hanya memerlukan para pemimpin sekolah yang memiliki.
Today we need more than just school leaders with strong characters, competencies, and necessary skills to become principals. School leadership must be transformative. It must be a leadership that drives, inspires, and continually encourages every educational stakeholder in a school to dare to innovate and make breakthroughs in order to deliver the best education services.
Untuk berani melakukan inovasi, melakukan terobosan-terobosan dalam rangka memberikan layanan pendidikan yang terbaik.
At the same event, Director General of Teachers Education, Personnel and Teacher Education, Nunuk Suryani, explained that the school leadership program consists of 110 instructional hours, equivalent to 16 days of training. She outlined that during the training, participants will study a wide range of topics, including national and regional education policies, school management, and analyzing the competency development needs of teachers and education personnel. Speaker of Indonesian House of Representatives Puan Maharani opened the House 20th plenary meeting session 4 of 2024 until 2025. During the session, they will hold a preliminary discussion on the draft state budget for the 2026 fiscal year and the draft law on accountability for the implementation of the state budget for the 2024 fiscal year.
Pada masa sidang ini, DPR RI akan melakukan pembahasan.
During this session, the Indonesian House of Representatives will hold a preliminary discussion on the draft state budget for the 2026 fiscal year and the draft law on accountability for the implementation of the state budget for the 2024 fiscal year. Next year, the global economy is projected to still face a dynamic and uncertain situation, geopolitical, geoeconomic, and global economic conflicts that are not conducive, which will greatly affect the global economic supply chain, economic productivity, public consumption, purchasing power, and capital flows for investment. Therefore, the discussion of macroeconomic policies and the main points of fiscal policy in 2026 must have anticipated this, which can have an impact on the capacity of the state budget to carry out national development. Moreover, Puan Maharani also said that the House will continue to carry out diplomatic functions aimed at building cooperative relations between parliaments. According to her, these diplomatic activities play an important role in strengthening Indonesia's foreign policy. Indonesian Minister of Social Affairs Saifullah Yusuf reported to President Prabowo Subianto on the progress of the People's School Program during a limited cabinet meeting held in Hambalang, Bogor, West Java on Monday. In his report, he stated that the program is ready to be implemented.
lapor kepada Presiden tentang penyelenggaraan sekolah rakyat tahun ini.
We informed the President about the People's School Program this year, where 100 locations with a capacity of more than 9,700 students are ready to begin, God willing, on July 14, starting with orientation. We also reported the second phase plan for this year, with another 100 locations using buildings owned by the Ministry of Manpower. If possible, both phases will be combined so that the total student capacity will exceed 20,000.
Saifullah also said that all preparations are currently underway, and at the right time, President Prabowo is expected to give a briefing to school principals and teachers. Indonesian Minister of Primary and Secondary Education Abdul Muti on Tuesday encouraged Indonesian language teachers in schools to play a role in making Indonesian a world language. Speaking before the Indonesian Language Subject Teachers Conference Monitor from Jakarta, Abdul Muti said that Indonesian has become one of the main languages of instruction in a number of meetings of the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO. He explained that the Indonesian language is part of the wealth of the Indonesian nation, so it must be taught by superior Indonesian language teachers who understand Indonesian culture.
Tapi soal ini menurut saya penting. Bagaimana kita menjadikan
bahasa Indonesia ini sebagai bahasa dunia? But I think this matter is important. How do we make Indonesian a world language? Internationalization of Indonesian language, that's the term. How do we make it a part of building the glory of the nation and noble civilization in various works and various world-class achievements? Alhamdulillah, through the struggle and hard work of my predecessors in this ministry, Indonesian has become the language of meetings at UNESCO. So because of that, we have a very important task.
Abdul Muti further highlighted the importance of Indonesian in shaping the thinking process of society. According to him, Indonesian language teachers must be able to develop the language and thinking skills of students in learning it. He also encouraged Indonesian language teachers to use the deep learning method, which should be a new direction for learning the language. The Indonesian Ministry of Public Works and Housing continues to promote the implementation of the earthquake-resistant building standard across the country through regulations, innovation, and an integrated monitoring system. Sutaji Yuwasdiki, Director of Building and Environmental Sanitation Technical Development, convey it during a talk show organized by the National Disaster Management Agency on Tuesday in Jakarta. Sutaji said that the ministry has developed the building management information system. He explained that it allows the building permit process to be done online and in an integrated manner, making it easier to monitor and ensuring that buildings meet technical and safety standard.
That's why the Ministry of Public Works wants the building permit process in the regions to be centralized through a one-door system, so both the timeline and the standard can be monitored at the national level.
He also stated that the ministry has developed prototype earthquake-resistant buildings such as Risha, or simple healthy instant house, and Ruspin modular instant panel system, which also encouraging the public to propose their own innovations through a technical verification process of clearing. Indonesian Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita on Wednesday officially launched the Gelar Batik Nusantara in Jakarta. In his remarks, Agus Gumiwang conveyed the export performance of the national batik industry, which showed positive performance in the first quarter of 2025. According to him, the achievement deserves appreciation considering the changes of the total current global economic conditions.
Pasar global tentu sedang lesu dengan berbagai pertimbangan dan alasan. Daya beli dari global market juga sedang tidak baik-baik saja.
The global market is certainly sluggish with various considerations and reasons. Purchasing power from the global market is also not doing well. But we can see that based on the Central Bureau of Statistics data, exports of batik products in the first quarter of 2025 reached $7.63 million. And what is important is that exports increased by 76.2% compared to the same period last year in 2024. So there is a 76% increase.
Tahun lalu pada tahun 2024, jadi ada kenaikan 76%.
On that occasion, Agus Gumiwang also encouraged an addition to increase in batik export by utilizing global and national potential, especially among the younger generation. He also expressed his appreciation for the progress of the national batik industry, which has utilized a more advanced industrial technology approach while maintaining the consistency of the artistic value of batik. Well, listener, that was the highlights of the week.
I always needed time on my own. I never thought I'd need you there when the days feel like years when I'm alone, and the bed where you lie is made up on your side. When you walk away, I count the steps that you this way before. Everything that I do reminds me of you, and the clothes you left, they lie on the floor, and they smell just like you. I love the things that you do. When you walk away, I count the steps that you.
My heart, I'm missing you.
Listener, let's join our special interview with Dr. Ida Pramuwardani, Head of the Weather Prediction and Early Warning Team of Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency of Indonesia about Welcome Anomaly Season, hosted by Ahmad Faisal. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, finally, as we promised you before, we are going to head for our Voice Talk listener. Well, it's June in Indonesia, and usually it is a time for of a dry and sunny weather. But this year, something unusual is happening, and many areas, including Jakarta, are still getting rain and quite a lot of it. So what's behind this unexpected weather? Is it anything to be worried about? And to help us understand, we have been connected by a spokesperson from Indonesia's Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, of Head of the Weather Prediction and Early Warning Team of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency of Indonesia, with Dr. Ida Pramuwardani. Assalamualaikum, Ibu Dr. Ida.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
How are you today, Ibu Ida?
Good. Good, thank you.
Okay, with me Faisal at the studio of Voice of Indonesia, Bu Ida.
Yeah, hello, okay. Faisal.
Thank you for your time, and also special time, Bu Ida, for joining this special interview, because not only here we are in Jakarta, special also our office here, but also our listeners around the world will also know about the anomaly season, especially in Indonesia. Well, before we talk more about this, actually, Bu Ida, can you explain firstly about what's going on with the weather in Indonesia right now, because we are still seeing the rain in the middle of the dry season. What's going on actually, Bu Ida?
Yeah, I think it will be an interesting topic to be discussed here, Pak Faisal. So first of all, we have to understand about the weather phenomena or atmospheric phenomena that control the weather conditions in Indonesia. If we talk about the seasonal condition like dry season, rainy season, so the atmospheric condition or atmospheric scale that control it is a global scale. It is quite different for weather, because weather not only global scale, it also influenced by many other scale like regional and also local scale. The local scale is the most significant scale that contribute to the weather condition in the tropical region like Indonesia, because if we talk about our latest condition, one of the key drivers that also triggering the raining heavy rainfall in some area is the land sea breeze cycle. So it is very local condition. So each day, surface heating over land during the afternoon triggers convective cloud formation, and then resulting in rainfall from late afternoon into the evening. And it is very typical condition that we already experiencing this several days. And it's subsequently the convective system shifts offshore and becomes active again over the sea during the early morning hours. So this recurring pattern is very common in the tropical complex island like in Sumatra, Kalimantan, Papua, including Jakarta. And this pattern remain prominent this week, so we have to be aware, because the raining will continue come, and explaining why many areas still experience rainfall in the late afternoon until evening.
So, Bu Ida, you said before about the unusual phenomenon. I mean, if we compare from maybe previous years, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, maybe, and like today, does it only happen in this year? Or maybe previous year, we also it also happened in some of areas or some of provinces in Indonesia, maybe.
Yeah, we have to remember, and I think we also have to understand that every year we experiencing a different condition background. Okay. Like today, this year, we have a neutral phase of El Nino Southern Oscillation. So we don't have El Nino, we don't have La Nina. So it's quite different with the previous 3 years, which was facing El Nino then La Nina. We have a neutral condition now, so it's quite different. So the impact of those phenomena quite, I mean, we need to check in a quite scientific analysis, mm-hmm. so we can decide it is the condition, is it different or the same, or we have the impact of such as the global warming, etc. So we need to explore scientifically first. Faisal.
Okay. Bu Ida, actually, is this phenomenon something new or be it after happened actually previously, Bu Dr. Ina?
Yeah. Firstly, I think I need to check the data, but if I could say this is not, we cannot say that this is anomaly. Mm. It is not necessarily anomaly, but we can see it like an unusual condition to the public. Okay. Because raining condition during the dry season is not always classified as a true anomaly in meteorology, mm-hmm. especially in the tropical region like Indonesia. The dry season doesn't mean there will be no rain at all, right? So it simply means that rainfall decrease and its pattern change. Diurnal, daily, and sub-seasonal scale phenomena can still occur and could increase the potential for rain, especially in the region of Indonesia.
Okay. Based on the prediction from BMKG, will it still happen maybe until the end of this year, Doctor?
Because it's quite different.
Okay.
Among the region in Indonesia, because we have a different background of atmospheric condition, geographical and topographic condition, but in the area of Indonesia, in next 3 days, we still have to be aware of heavy rainfall that can be occur, especially in Jabodetabek and then in South Sumatra, etc.
So we also even don't know about the real happen. I mean, even whether it is maybe in the big cities or not, like this maybe, Bu Ida.
Yeah. We are still check, but for a seasonal condition, mm-hmm. It is still less than 50% mm-hmm. of Indonesia region that already experiencing a dry season. That's why for a lot of region in the Indonesia region still have heavy rainfall. And because we are in the neutral phase of El Enso or El Nino Southern Oscillation, so that the condition will be quite humid and the weather, the extreme weather still can be occur, especially in this end of this year. November, December, I think we have to beware for those months, because those months, especially the rainy season, usually comes.
Okay, so yeah, especially for November and December, yeah, rainy season always come. Okay. Ibu Ida, actually, what are the possible effects if this rainy weather continues, especially for things like daily life, farming, or maybe public safety?
Yeah, maybe I start with the public safety. Of course, it is important because besides important and critical, because extreme weather can directly giving the impact for the public, like maybe a strong wind can also giving a damage for the people who crossing the road, etc. And for farming, we can also experience a crop failure, a disturbing supply chain and food logistic, disturbing in food logistic. And for daily activity, it is quite have a strong relation with the transportation, because during the heavy rainfall, we will facing the traffic jam, transportation disturbing, especially that using electrical power like in Jakarta, commuter line, and then other damaging impact like disaster, of course, like flood, landslide, etc., can be affected by the extreme weather, especially heavy rainfall. So with the high dynamical weather change in a tropical region of Indonesia, we or BMKG encourage everyone to stay informed by regularly checking the information, the update information from BMKG. Faisal.
Okay, so it means that with this unusual condition, people, especially who live around the area in this unusual condition, should be able to stay safe and prepare during this unexpected weather. So how do you see this, Bu Ida?
We have a mini channel, information channel, so people can be checked regularly through the website, official BMKG official website. Then we also have official social media, and people also can download the mobile apps info BMKG, either in a Android or iPhone or whatever the mobile apps you have, and people also can call the call center of BMKG 116.
Okay.
And also we have many official office in a province, so people also can come and get the information of weather condition update, get the update information.
Okay, so talking about this, is BMKG also working with other government or related agencies or local authorities to monitor and also respond to the situation, this unexpected situation, Bu Ida?
Sure, because as part of the core mandate, BMKG also commit to providing the up-to-date weather information, including issuing a warning, early warning information to the public and also to the stakeholder, because stakeholder will have a important role to having a contingency plan, if I could say that. And that's why we have a good coordination with stakeholder like BNPB or National Disaster Management and BPBD or regional or province disaster management. So once the potential of extreme weather that can cause a damage happen, so immediately we inform them, we communicated with them, we coordinate with them, not only giving the information, but we doing some conversation with them, either the information already gathered by them, deliver to them or not. So we have also to make sure that they understand the information that we already prepared to them.
Including to such doing research together, Bu Ratrida.
Yeah, for collaboration, of course, we doing research together, especially in the disaster sector.
Including to, what's called that? It is that BRIN, like the Research and Innovation Agency here.
Yeah, of course, in a BRIN, especially for developing the methodology, the equipment, the sensor like a radar, etc.
Okay, well, to know more about this, Bu Ida, how can people actually to know much more about the updated information from this BMKG?
Yeah. We have an official website in www.bmkg.co.id. We provide information not only weather condition, but also climate, seasonal, earthquake, tsunami, air pollution. So not only official website, we also provide the information in the social media like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, which is quite quite easy to access, and also we provide also the information through the application, mobile application, like I said previously, and people also can call 1-9-6 for BMKG call center.
Okay, so let's come to the final question, Dr. Ida. Maybe do you have any such messages for Indonesian people, especially who are able to face this unusual condition of the weather?
Yeah, so people have to also prepare themselves about the impact that can occur after the extreme weather happen. So they are also mm-hmm. have to aware to the environment in their maybe the environment in their house.
Stay tuned at www.voinews.id, because after this song we'll be right back to accompany you again here.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Asal kau
Voice of Indonesia.